Pat, how many high profile B2B marketers have we talked to that do not know the answer to this question?
You know what fucking sucks? Planet your paid media demand gen budget. At least it used to.
How do you even like fundamentally know that your demand gen efforts will be successful? We have the answer now.
Got the right ingredients for revenue growth. A pinch of effort and a dash of hope won't cut it anymore. Grab your utensils. You're about to get some high-performing marketing recipes. Welcome to Client Boost Kitchen.
So, Pat, what are we going to learn in this episode of Client Boost Kitchen?
We are going to learn three really important things in this episode of Client Boost Kitchen. So, number one, super easy equation for calculating your demand gen paid media budget without guesswork. Number two, essential tools you need for launching demand gen campaigns that actually attract your ideal client persona. And then number three, how to actually measure the performance of your demand gen campaigns and answer the question, is it even working?
Mm-hmm. I think on your second point, the essential tools, like it doesn't have to be like everything in the kitchen sink, no pun intended, in terms of the cost or commitment. Like you can in many ways do this very natively with very low cost tools to see, are you going in the right direction? Which kind of ties me to the third point that you mentioned that we're going to learn is what are the leading indicators that you should be keeping an eye on before you expect the lagging indicator of like revenue being generated as well too, right? So super pumped to start off and chop up some things here with you in the kitchen. So at its core, a lot of us in B2B have heard about the 95-5 rule as well too. And it basically states that at any given time, 5% of our ICP is in market, you know, available to potentially buy from us as well too. The problem is that our memorability and what they call mental availability needs to be strengthened by both our demand gen efforts and or brand efforts as well too, so that they choose us on their hierarchy of a list of vendors or solutions to go after as well. Because their decision's pretty much made up over a longer period of time. It's not just in the demand gen couple ads that you see based on the frequency and things like that as well too. And that means that 95% of the out market people are not ready to buy. And those are also the ones, of course, that we're targeting. Now, it depends, that ratio changes, depends on industry, depends on sales cycle length as well too. But it's a good thing to kind of be aware of that you cannot continuously scale forever only targeting the 5% that are in market. And I think that's a big unlock for performance marketers and ones that are also obsessed with demand capture as well too.
Yeah, 100%. And on the flip side, I think something I would add there is you know, a good chunk of B2Bs that will kind of do the opposite, where they focus on that 95% out market and put like, I don't know, maybe two grand into it a month without ever figuring out what's the exact amount of budget I need to convert that audience into the 5% that is in market.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing too, it's interesting, we talked about the toothbrush example as well, in terms of you're not going to sway anybody to move from out market in market based off of your ads or your content or anything like that as well too. And you had given me a great example of like, you know, we're talking ACVs in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars from a B2B perspective. We can't even get you, Patrick, to buy a new toothbrush if you don't need it. Not saying that you have bad dental hygiene or anything like that, but explain, you gave me a great example earlier. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, I am British, so that is the reputation. That is the reputation that we have. But yeah,
keep going. Let roll it. I don't care.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, imagine that you get served tomorrow. You just kind of browsing through Instagram. You see an ad for the greatest toothbrush in the world, right? Could be the best ad in the world. And you look at it, you're like, wow, I love this toothbrush. But then you think about it for a second and you think, you know what? There's really nothing wrong with the toothbrush that I have right now. Like it's still, you know, it's still got loads of juice left in it. And so even something as simple as a toothbrush that maybe max is going to cost you like $100, you're not going to buy it.
I'm talking like a plastic toothbrush. You're talking like an Oral-B kind of like, does it have US, like does it have Bluetooth capabilities? Because I needed to also tell me in the app if I brush, I need a Spotify Wrapped equivalent from my Oral-B toothbrush, please.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually thinking more like gold plated, you know, with my name engraved on it type of toothbrush deal.
Much more mafia-like. I see. I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got so style up. Yeah.
You're basically saying that something as simple as a toothbrush, whether it's $100, whether it's less than $10, there is no form of advertising or content or marketing in general that's going to move you from out market, in market, unless you're just disgusted with your current toothbrush and you want to buy a new toothbrush. But the memorability aspect is what you're saying. Like, now you're going to go for the Oral-B or whatever, you know, brand it might be. And this happens B2C and B2B quite often as well too.
Yeah, exactly. So let's say in 2 months' time, my toothbrush breaks. It's going to be that ad that I remember.
How hard are you brushing your teeth?
Pretty aggressively. Pretty aggressively.
All right, let's move on. Now, walk us through the actual equation. This is what this episode is all about as well, too. Like, help us understand what this all means.
Yeah, so I love this equation because this is what takes the guesswork out of actually deciding what budget you need to use to reach your kind of target ICP. So you can see there's a lot of scary looking algebra. It's not actually super scary when we start breaking it down. So you can see there, to work out your monthly budget, what we need to know is first your audience size. And we'll actually get onto how to show you to work out exactly what your audience size is in a moment. Then we need to know the target reach. So if we think of platforms like LinkedIn, like Meta, for example, even though maybe your entire audience is on there, the chances that they're all active users all the time is very, very minimal, right? So when we say target reach, we're thinking about what is the minimum percentage of that audience that we would want to like reach with our ads in order for us to be satisfied that we're achieving our demand gen goals. And kind of to come back to that toothbrush ad, one thing that's really, really important is this thing that we call frequency factor. So this is how many times do we actually want our audience to see those ads, right? So it may be the case that, I don't know, in the example we just used, I was wowed by the first ad I saw for a toothbrush. But in the real world, it doesn't really happen like that. And that there is, a high likelihood that I'll just scroll past and not even notice the ad, right? So when we're talking about frequency factor, we're like, what is the minimum number of ad times that we would want the audience to actually see that ad? And you can see there we've got a few different scales where we kind of recommend at a minimum, you would probably want the audience to be seeing one ad at least 10 times. Now, moving on, we've then got CPM. And again, I would say that the audience size and CPM, these are the kind of main ingredients in this equation calculator that make it so accurate compared to the typical approach to budget, which is kind of like that. So with CPM, what we're working out is, how much is it going to cost us to reach 1,000 users within our audience? And then finally, you've got number of months. So how long are you planning budget for? Typically, what we say is to try and plan for at least one full sales cycle so that you can get an idea of how much it's going to cost you to, to start landing close one deals.
Now, everybody watching, everybody listening, sorry for the people listening because you can't see this visual yourself too, but we actually built a calculator that you can use to plug in your data essentially on the audience size, the target reach, which is at 0.8, the 80% that we recommend, the frequency factor of 10, the CPM, the cost per thousand impression or cost per milli. I'm butchering that. Is it French? I don't even know. And then the number of months, which is a 2x sales cycle, and it'll spit out what the recommended budget is. And again, foundationally, financially, if you talk to your CFO, you talk to your VP of finance, whoever that may be, this is part of the plan. And also on the other show that we have called CFO's Best Friend, How to Earn More Marketing Budget, this is the template for you to actually use.
And I'll just add in there, if you want us to send you a copy of that calculator so that you can use it yourself, just drop a calculator, all caps, in the comments below.
If you misspell it, we're not going to send it to you because I don't know how to spell calculator. Yeah. Just kidding. No, it actually says right here typos. On the visuals. No typos allowed. All right.
So what we're going to be talking about now is like, how do we use real world data to eliminate guesswork from actually building this budget right? And I would say this is probably one of the biggest mistakes that most marketers make is that they try and just guess the budget. That's why you see so many round number budgets. I see a round number budget, I know it's been made up. So the two things that we use to do this is one, historic marketing data. So if you've been marketing for 12 months, for example, you can actually just map out over a period of time, what was the average CPM? And then you can actually plug that into the budget calculators using a real world representation of how much it's going to cost you to advertise. Now, in some instances, you may not actually have access to historic data. It's not the end of the world. In those scenarios, what we recommend is just going to some sources like Dream Data or HockeyStack that actually tend to have up-to-date industry-specific benchmarks for things like CPM. Use that as a starting point. But what you want to do is, as quickly as possible, move to a point where you're benchmarking against your own data, because that's what makes it accurate. And then number two is you can actually build, using very, very detailed targeting criteria, a rough estimate of what your audience size is on LinkedIn. So you can see here with the example that we have, we just plugged in a few of the kind of ICP characteristics of our own ICP to give us like a rough number of what the audience size would be for us.
I love that you said that. And one of the things that's really important, as you have 2x sales cycles as like a minimum criteria for demand gen to really see that it's performing, one part on the leading indicators, but also the other part on the lagging indicators, which is the revenue and the pipeline obviously being generated, is to revisit your CPM data and see if it changes, because you may have to adjust your budgets in flight, essentially. And one thing that's also really important is, we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but your asset coverage in terms of your content, in terms of your ads, because if you do not have what we call surround sound creative within Client Boost, you will be forced to just pay the CPMs of that ad format type, which might not give you the best reach that you're wanting to, which is one of the main goals of demand gen efforts as well too. So keep that in mind as you go along. So this is one of the things I feel like is criminally underutilized, which is when people are expecting to go after B2B prospects, they're going to default to LinkedIn, right? And LinkedIn, as we know, has the highest CPMs, CPCs, cost per conversion as well too. Why not use third-party audience platforms like Primer, for example, and there's other ones out there as well too, to target like LinkedIn-level targeting on Meta, on Google as well too. That expands your reach. You'll get cheaper CPMs, so you have to get away with less budget essentially and still be able to achieve your goals as well too. Now, getting into like the leading indicators, how do you know that your demand gen efforts are working as well too? Most of the time, demand gen in its truest form is not trying to create any conversion aspect happening in the actual creative or in the actual ad itself too. It's more for in-feed consumption. How are you getting that memorability score up mentally in the prospect's brain as well too? But one thing that you can increase your confidence that your demand gen efforts are going in the right direction are going to be twofold. And it might not start happening until the end of month three, beginning of month four, but you basically can start seeing like reverse IP reveal. Your ICP is actually starting to grow in volume and also percentage against your overall site traffic. And you can use platforms like Koala, Clearbit, Snitcher, Leadfeeder. Like there's a lot out there as well too. Those are things you can use. The other thing to keep in mind of as well too is that as you are getting click-throughs from your creative and from your ads as well too, it's pretty immediate, but you can also create what we call holdout groups. So a certain percentage of that 80% audience reach factor that you want to, maybe you slice a percentage away that doesn't get targeted with those ads. So when you upload your audiences, you're doing creating that holdout group, and you can see the percentage difference in terms of the reverse IP reveal of the holdout group and the non-holdout group, how many of them are actually visiting your site and not as well too. So that's one. The other one is going to be looking at something as simple as your brand search impressions through Google Search Console. Like it might not be that fast of an uptick, but you should start seeing some pings happening as well too and taking it from there.
There's one more that I'd add in there as well. So Shout out to tools like Dream Data, for example. So you can actually go into those platforms, and what they'll do is actually analyze who's like looking at your ads the most. And so you can understand which companies are spending the most time looking
in the
at
LinkedIn
your ads.
UI, like in the LinkedIn sandbox, essentially, exactly, before they come to your site.
Exactly.
Nice, nice. Okay, cool. So let's talk about, is it working? Like, again, how do you know for the leading and lagging indicators? And I love how you put lagging on the left and leading on the right, because chronologically, the leading would happen first, the lagging would happen after as well, too. So is this like a Japanese novel that I'm reading the other direction?
Yeah, it was originally written in Hebrew, so my bad.
All right, So a few of the leading indicators that we're going to be keeping an eye on to know that our demand gen efforts are directionally going in the right direction are going to be, you know, the reach and frequency. Are we actually spending the budget enough already? You know, inside of LinkedIn, if we're using that as one of our ad platforms, can we see that those companies that we're trying to target, even though we're having an audience list of contacts, are they actually the companies that are seeing our ads, engaging with our ads? The reverse IP reveal will also tell us of people coming through to our site as well. And like third-party tools like Dream Data can also kind of show you those things in tandem, both what happens in the app platform of LinkedIn and what happens on your site as well too. Engagement rate, is our content actually creating any engagement? Are there any signals inside the sponsored posts and then the ad formats that we're creating as well too? If it's just crickets, we're not striking a chord from a memorability perspective as well too. The number of engaged ICP companies and the percentage of them that are visiting our site, as we mentioned, increased brand searches, and then slowly you'll start seeing an uptick in MQLs that can lead to SQLs, depending on, again, the definition of MQLs, because they can be great. But I think the vast majority of us are also hating on them because it's a gated content and BS like that, right? So those are some of the leading indicators. On the lagging indicators, of course, the top one that we have is going to be the revenue side, right? Like, are we actually producing revenue? But what happens before that, if we actually have great demand gen efforts that are using jobs theory, the jobs to be done framework, and we're actually touching on the pain points of what our ICP has and how our solution solves that, well, then the sales cycle length can actually shorten as well too, right? Because there's less objections. You've already tackled some of those things in from a demand gen effort perspective as well too. Your close rate should go up as well too. Your customer acquisition cost should go down as well. And obviously, like, your ACV could also be influenced, but SQL volume, things like that are, of course, the things that we're like, okay, we got something, they're on the conveyor belt, let's see what sales does now. And of course, as marketers, let's communicate with our sales team and figure out how are those, you know, ICPs that are coming in performing from a sales cycle and sales speed perspective as well too. And then you had something in terms of a benchmark?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one thing that's important to know when it's working is you obviously got to want to set goals for all these different KPIs. And I think, again, what you really want to do is just make sure that you're actually benchmarking as much as possible against your own performance versus benchmarking against industry standards. I think a lot of companies can kind of get themselves into a bit of a tizz. They can get a bit jumbled when they're aiming for this kind of arbitrary number that's not really relevant to the very specific market that they're operating in, the product that they're operating in, the price point that they're at, the exact audience, etc. So that's kind of the main takeaway from me. Going to save you a lot of headaches and frustration.
Love it. And then the tactical takeaways at the end. Pat, walk us through these, please.
Yeah, for sure. So I think this one's probably one of the most important ones and most underutilized, but making sure that we're using third-party audience tools to reach more ICPs across more channels. So I think, again, everybody thinks...
To lower that CPM. That's the main reason as well too, right?
Yeah, 100%. Just way cheaper. And I think, you know, I coming from a client work background, one thing that I hear all the time is, oh, but you know, we're B2B, our audience isn't on Facebook, our audience isn't on Instagram, our audience isn't on YouTube. And it just couldn't be further from the truth. If anything, that's the best channels to get them on, because nobody else, none of your competitors, is probably advertising for that audience on those platforms.
There are, I'm looking this up, as of Q4 2023, Facebook has 3 billion monthly active users, but funny enough, none of them work in B2B.
Yeah, zero of those are actually, yeah, I actually heard there's no CFOs, there's no nope. CTOs, there's no CIOs. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yeah, for sure. So the second one, and again, this is another really, really crucial one, but making sure that you revisit that budget at least every quarter to account for ICP and CPM changes. So one thing is for sure is that CPMs fluctuate in the ad market. They're up and down all the time. And you want to make sure that your budget is matched to what the current CPM is. And then the other one is ICP. So most companies, especially startups, especially scale-ups, they're changing their ICP all the time. And so you just want to make sure that your budget is relevant to the current audience size that you have, which will change as you update that ICP definition.